Just gave you your workout for the week. You better hit them folks.
Two,
slide.
Three, four, slide. Hit them folks. One, two, three, four, slide. Hit them folks. Do whatever you want. Three, four, slide. And dab. Go. One, two, three. Knees high. Slide. Yeah. And dab. Just like that.
Well, listen, y'all. Remember to keep your core tight. Zach, I want to thank you for coming to the show, man.
For having me, brother.
I really appreciate you taking the time out, man. And once again, you know, I'm glad that you're still putting fitness out there in the streets of Houston, y'all. So listen, y'all look for Jajo, y'all. He's not going nowhere, and he might be coming back to a studio near you.
Yeah.
5475 West Loop South Suite 160, Houston, Texas 77081. At the top of the building in white letters, it says Glory Training Studio. Look out for Jajo in January 2017, y'all. Super Bowl season. We out, y'all. Y'all have a good evening.
God bless.
Switch when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury ya. The real screen team on your screen scene. It's like showdown in the ring. Tell me who won the tango. We're together, which got the neighborhood superhero.
We want it all, but unstoppable. We run the floor.
KYND, Cypress, Houston.
A Synergy Broadcasting Company.
Your kind of talk. Your kind of music.
Your kind of radio.
The Powerful 1520. The views and opinions expressed on KYND 1520 talk programs are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, management, other hosts, or advertisers. Show topics on this station may include conversations on any lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. KYND, a Synergy Broadcasting Company.
Welcome to the Chat with Pac Radio broadcast. I'm your host, Yuri Solomon, in the studio with Pac pastors, including our President Wilfred Norton. And Pac stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. And just a note right there is that we are just showing the unified front of the church, that we're not territorial. Worried about our church or anything like that, but together we're working to advance the kingdom, and that's the unity that God wants. And we want to invite you to join us on the air, on the radio, but not just there. But of course, you can come and visit us, and because it's all about presenting this unified front, pastors advancing the kingdom. Today's show topic, we've been talking about our core values, and that brings us down to the fourth one, which is stewardship today. Stewardship. And so let's do this. We want to remind you that you can call in at 832-230-5592 and join this conversation. We're talking to you. Want you to talk back to us. And let's introduce the pastors that are in the studio today.
Good afternoon. This is Harry Coase, Equippers Bible Fellowship, 2600 Chew Street, Houston, Texas, 77020. Bible study is 9:30 a.m. You come and check out Pastor Will Darton, and then our worship service starts at 11. Welcome.
It's Pastor Harold Marshall, Abundant Harvest Church, 8734 Windswept, Piney Point, Texas, 77063. Glad you could join us today.
Pastor Wilfred Darton, Equippers Bible Fellowship, 2600. Oh,
Boy, look here, the left of Mike. Harris said, come here to preach, and he Pastor Wilford Darden, Quipper Bible Fellowship, 2600 Chu.
All right, and I'm Uri Solomon. You can visit our church, New Life Baptist Church, at the 10 a.m. service on Sunday mornings, 4714 Wilmington Street. Houston, Texas, 77033, in the heart of Sunnyside. Again, we've been talking about the core values of our ministry, what we teach, basically, in all of the classes, and you're going to find out that this is the thrust, is creating value in people. And the way we do that is these five core values. Now, let me contextualize again that we're talking about the spiritual leader. Somebody has to take lead because,
amen.
As I said this morning, that evangelism and change, as God would have it, runs on the goal track of discipleship.
All right.
And so God wants you to teach somebody else. And so that brings us to the definition of spiritual leadership, and that is one who is empowered to show others how to love God and to love others. You receive God's love. Somebody loved you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now it's your turn. And so that's what it's all about. And so what your starting point and your starting base, of course, personal. Everybody has to. You have to be
right.
What you're trying to convey to other people.
Right.
So Christ has changed you. But now your starting base is your family.
Right.
And so we have what we call the Healthy Family Initiative.
Yes,
and that's what we want to do is we want to help you get your family together so that you can be a force for Christ in the community.
Amen.
And bring about change.
Amen.
And so when you're talking to your family, we've been talking about family forums, and because if you don't plan to succeed, you plan to fail.
All right.
Need to have a plan. Need to have a goal. Need to have a strategy. And so that's what we're all about, is helping you to get that together. And so when you're talking about these things, what you're trying to convey are these values. And that is faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness, stewardship, and servanthood.
Amen.
So what we're going to do is we're going to review a little bit, and then we're going to move into our topic for the day, which is stewardship. But we first talked about faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Can we review that, brothers? Faithfulness. What do we mean by faithfulness?
Faithfulness, being true to your intent, being true to your word. And I call it the locomotive that drives the train.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it don't matter what else going on. If you're not faithful to what you're committed to, it doesn't work. And faithfulness, because God is faithful, it's a trait especially every believer should have, is faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And God is always faithful even when we're not.
Right.
Amen. That empowers us to be faithful.
Right.
So it's a very important ingredient in to increasing your value, because as you increase your value and the folks that depend on you know that you are faithful, they know they can count on you. Nobody's perfect, but if you are consistent and genuine and try to know what you're talking about, someone can know that they can always depend on you.
Right, right.
One thing I like about what you said was about consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, you know, one thing that faithfulness does and consistency does is that when life does break down,
yes,
it makes a whole lot of room for mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we know you. We know will, you know, what you intend to do. We know your heart.
Yes.
As we say
Yes.
We know your heart. Yes. Oh, no. If he could be here,
yeah,
he would be here.
Right, yeah, right.
If he could do it, he would do it. Because faith, we can count on him.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's like, if you know someone who is faithful, and you get a bad report, you can say, you know, that don't sound like the person I know.
Right, right.
You know, I know that person to be true to their commitment, and so maybe you need to go and research whatever whatever you're talking about, because it don't sound like.
I would say something like, something must have happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something must have happened. We probably want to call a check on them, because something must have happened, because this is not the character that they usually exhibit.
Right.
I like the part where you said what makes all the other pieces tick.
Yes.
It makes keeps the train on the track.
Yes.
And what that says to me is that, you know, when we have a group of those of us who are faithful,
yes,
then the whatever movement or whatever objective we are participating in,
mm-hmm.
we can leave knowing that the objective can possibly happen,
right?
Yes.
Because it's in the hands of faithful people.
Yes. Yes.
And so if we expand faithfulness to a household, mm-hmm. the mom is faithful to the dad is faithful to the mom, the dad is faithful to going to work and bringing his money home.
Right.
The children are watching this example of faithfulness. And so now they can go to bed at night and rest easy, because mom and dad are going to be together. There won't be a divorce, because faithfulness is the glue that's holding it together. And so now out of that glue, and they're going to work, then the restful night can allow that value to be transferred to the kids.
Right.
And sometimes we put all the faithfulness on the parents, but our children sure could help us out with some faithfulness. You know,
maybe they need to listen to the broadcast.
You know, if parents, if we know they're going to school, they're going to take care of their business.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? And if we get a bad report, you know, we know, you know, basically how our child has been,
mm-hmm.
you know, and especially when they get to that age where they're called grown, mm-hmm. you know, if they're faithful, then you know you can kind of rest, because you pretty much know they're going to take care of their business.
And I think about the faithful child who get a bad report from a teacher who's not faithful.
Right.
And the teacher calls and says they did something that was not good. And the parent goes home, the child goes home and say, you know, Mom, I didn't do that.
Yes, yes.
And the parent can now rely on the faithfulness of the child. Well, they've been showing up on time.
Right.
Been getting A's or C's or whatever.
Yeah.
And you listening for that inner voice where that child is pleading, don't buy what the teacher's saying this time.
Right.
Last time I might have done it. This time.
Yes.
You can hear that heart of faithfulness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And you're able to respond based on that. On the understanding of the role of faithfulness, and that thing will glue your family together.
Right.
You know,
right.
Faithfulness used to say this when you would leave the house. My grandparents were millers, and faithfulness would say, "Boy, remember you're a miller."
Yeah.
You know, right. What is that telling you? Go out and exemplify the same character
mm-hmm.
as your grandfather and your grandmother
mm-hmm.
and all those that are attached to them.
There you go.
You know, because you represent them. So they're saying, go out and be faithful. I remember my father had an account at the little neighborhood store. And because of his faithfulness, I could go in and say, look, I want some summer sauce and some cheese and some crackers.
Yeah.
On his faithfulness. I couldn't have got nothing on my faithfulness at the time. But because someone has established faithfulness, as you know, that makes room for the unfaithful. I guess that's the same thing Christ did.
Right.
But I want to jump on that, because Yuri talked to Pastor Solomon talked about how we use the context of discipleship. And, you know, discipleship is where we're transferring those values down so that people can reproduce the process.
Yes.
And if the process is reproduced, then the efforts that's being sown into the people are going to go into another generation.
Right.
Yes.
And so it made me think about that when you said Grandpa had sown some seed
yes.
through faithfulness.
Yes.
Got the account. Discipleship is where he's transferring you to that faithfulness,
yes,
by allowing you to go use his account.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And that's what we're saying here. Jesus is discipling us. He needs another generation that can go get his stuff done.
Right.
Yes.
And we need to do it based on the power of his spirit. That's why he gave it to us.
Kind of like him saying, you can ask in my name.
Yeah, I'm going to sign off on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign off on it. And the signing off also says, as in your grandfather's case.
Yes.
Because if he wouldn't have done it,
yes,
you could have talked to grandpa.
Yes.
And grandpa can go down there and say, next time I send my son over here, give him the summer song.
Yeah.
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 Let him have it. It's the same thing that Jesus is doing to the father.
And give him a red soda.
Give him a red soda.
All right.
Yeah, we done got all. Okay.
we are up against the break. And you're listening to Chat with Pack, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. We'll be back right after this.
1520 KYND.
This is Bill Russell. I ain't got much time, so listen carefully. If you or your family member are looking for a new or used car, truck, or SUV, I've got every make, model, and brand. BMW, Range Rover, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Mercedes, Lexus, Nissan. Did I say BMW? Of course I did. Before you drive all over town and get jacked around, call Bill Russell at Momentum BMW, 713-596-3100.
Go see Houston's car legend Bill Russell now at Momentum BMW Southwest.
During the recent election, we heard a lot of talk about change. Well, for better or worse, change is here. And empowering our local community has never been more important. That is why I asked you to discover TreyGreenbook.com. Here you can find hundreds of local businesses and entrepreneurs that are committed to our community and dedicated to our local economy. The wealthy mega stores, they take care of themselves. Now more than ever is the time to support those businesses that support you. TreyGreenbook.com is a simple, searchable mobile resource which works on Apple and Android. Whether online or on the go, you're just one click away from connecting to local businesses invested in your community. Do you know a small business or entrepreneur you want to support? Log on and list them for free at TreyGreenbook.com.
Get connected. Spend smart. Shop local. Find your tribe at TreyGreenbook.com. That's TreyGreenbook.com. Empowering our communities for a stronger tomorrow.
Music with a message.
Say it loud. Say it loud.
Music with a message.
I'm standing with the man in the mirror.
Music with a message.
Well, in the ghetto.
Nobody did it. The way they did it. Nobody.
I can't get next to you.
Revolutionary music.
I don't want nobody. Give me nothing.
All I want to say is that I think I'm really good about it.
The transcended generations.
That's what the world is today.
The godfather of soul.
I feel good.
The king of pop.
Don't stop till you get enough.
The emperors of soul.
The way you do the things you do.
The way you do.
It's James Brown.
Can't stand it.
And Michael Jackson.
The way you make me feel.
The way you make me feel.
Versus the Temptations.
You're my soul.
It's a Hall of Fame showdown. Friday, December 16th on 1520 KYND. From South Park to Settegast. On the air everywhere.
Everywhere.
The powerful 1520.
Welcome back. Chat with Pat radio broadcast, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. I want to remind you that we have a whole lot going on with our programs. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to start new classes in January, January 9th. And if you're interested in those classes, you can call our offices at 713-784-6055. It's a great time to call down and get on the list and come out, see what we're all about. You can also visit us to learn more about what we do and who we are by going to the World Wide Web, Harry.
And that's going to be chatwithpack, that's PAK.org, chatwithpack.org.
All right, amen. We also have various materials that you can download off of the website. And then if you want to get any of our other materials or anything that we're talking about that you feel like that will help you in the mission of making your family healthy or being able to be a change agent in the life of others, because that's what it's all about. Again, we're talking about core values. And the point is, how do you increase your value or increase your usefulness, another way to say it, in the hand of the Lord? And so these five core values, they revolutionize people's lives. When people are often in our classes saying, you know, come in and they learn, and they really find out what was broke in their life and right. why they were not getting the results that they were looking for.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, we talked about faithfulness. Number two is integrity.
Right.
Integrity. Doing right
just
because
is right.
It is right. I want to talk about integrity a little bit.
Yeah. Integrity, I think one of the pastors said last week, integrity will give the money back when you when you're given too much and you know you've been given too much and you won't shout, bless, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to lose their job. You know, integrity says this is not right. You know, I could use the 20, but it's not right, so I'm going to give it back. And so integrity is doing right. And when people can depend on you, and not just people, when the Lord can depend on mm-hmm. you to do the right thing, just because it's right. The old definition of character is, what do you do when no one's looking?
Right.
You know, who are you when no one's looking? It will determine how much integrity that you have.
You know that, and that's a, you know, that's a much needed statement, because we moved into a society where we do things when watching and stop doing things when people don't.
You're right.
It's just it's a behavior pattern now, where it used to be, if I had a good work ethic, I could carry it to anywhere I am. But now I just carry it where I can be seen. And then when I turn it off, I turn it into someone else.
Yeah.
And now we have these Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde behavior patterns out there now that needs to be addressed. And integrity will fix it.
And you know something, you guys said it before, just to reiterate it, that it builds your credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought about that. Many of us are concerned about our credit in society. We're talking about having that 700 score. What is our score, credibility with God and with others? What is our scores like with them? Mm-hmm. That people can look at you and know that you're good for what you say you will do.
Right.
Even in the dysfunctional part of our society, credibility is important, because you hear people talk about street cred and all that kind of stuff, because integrity in whatever you do is going to give you the credibility that you want. When you have a reputation for doing the right thing,
It's going to get you a tremendous amount of respect.
Right.
And nothing happens if you're not respected.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key.
Let's go to the phone lines. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Mark, are you there?
Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Okay, that's good. All right. You know what? Credibility. Boy, I'm glad y'all talking about this here.
I see the
problem. But I want to say this here, Pastor, and I'm hoping y'all don't think I'm going to go to H, because I'm going to go all the way on left field. But when you talk about the credit score, what's your credit score here? I ain't worried about my credit score in heaven, because I know what God thinks about that number. Say that number they're going to give you and I down here, all right, that score ain't no good for me. Because every time I'm going to try to ask for my credit score, he looking at me, he already looked at me already. So I know what my credit score is. Him. And then you say integrity. Well, I tell you what, people, if you go in and somebody at Walmart accidentally give you $50 back,
uh-huh,
and you only gave them $10,
uh-huh,
the only one that could have done that was God. God did that. God, you didn't go. See, the law, we got to go by the law of the land. That's what they tell us. And the law of the land said,
Mark, if you gave them $10 and they gave you $50 back, would you give them their money back? That's the question.
Man, I'm going out the store and I'm gonna broadcast to everybody, to all my friends. I'm gonna tell them. I'm gonna say, look, man, I think today I was blessed. Today. What are you talking about?
Let me.
I went in and gave them $10 and I got $50.
Let me ask you this, Mark: if you gave them $50. And you had $40 change come, and they gave you $10. Would you feel like the Lord had blessed them?
No, because before I leave, I'm gonna turn around and right there in front of the cameras and everything. I'm gonna say, look, man, I know I just gave you $50,
yeah,
you gave me $10. I'm supposed to get $40 back. I say something wrong with that $50.
So what you're saying is the blessing don't go both ways.
What the blessing did was that if I let it go that route and they got it, then that's fine and handy. But if I walk into somewhere and somebody give me back $20 and I wasn't supposed to get it, come on. I mean, what? The law of the land said I didn't rob them, I didn't steal them, I didn't ask for it. They just, hey, that's a blessing. They gave it to me.
So we quickly got to take Mark the truthfulness so he can prove out the accepted rationale.
Mark, listen to this. I'm being honest. You are. But here's the thing. Can I say this? That a mistake. What happened to the mistake? They made a mistake and gave you more than what you were supposed to get. The store gave you more than what you were supposed to get. It was a mistake made.
Right.
Now, have you ever made any mistake, Mark?
You know what? All the mistakes I made, guess what? I'm sure I paid for them or I'm paying for them. I know some people get a water bill for $9,000, and they know they ain't used that much water in 1 month.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, they turn around and say, well, we still can't turn your water on till we fix. See, this is the issue. When they make a mistake, we still got to go through it. We abolish that mistake.
Right.
See it. But what I'm just saying to the people, don't make the people feel bad because they accidentally got a $20. That was a blessing.
So we got, that's but, not. But Mark, we have to tell the truth of the matter, Mark. And here's the deal.
I just said I went out the store and told everybody I won $20.
The cashier that comes up short on that draw, where you took that money, that sister could get fired because she gave you too much money back.
Now you see what you just did. Now see what you just did. I'm speculating. The pure reality of it is,
if we always do right, there are win-win. Both sides wins,
right.
Not one side wins and the other side loses. When you do right, there are win-wins. Even if the circumstances falls down to where a person looks like it's not going to win, you're going to discover that God will bless it. And at the end, when you see that blessing, you're going to see the win-win.
Right.
It may not come immediately, but it's going to be on his way because God will always bless integrity, because it's his idea.
Okay, but then you just say God probably would fire the person, right? The person could get fired,
that's right.
Okay, but watch this here. Maybe God didn't get this person. If I see we leave the hand in God. We got to leave everything, like y'all tell us, leave everything in the hands of God. If that person made a mistake, I want you to remember this here. If they made a mistake and accidentally gave somebody Romans, you think God's gonna say, the hand of God is on his people
doing right. That's where the hand of God comes down on it. The hand of God is on his people doing what they should. And when we move outside of what, let me ask you something. Are you attending church or somebody's Bible study somewhere? Are we doing that?
Let me tell you something. I attend church. I attend Bible study. What book of the Bible are you currently going through now? What book? It all depends on whatever scripture.
Are you going through books? Are you just dealing with scripture, text, or how does that work?
Oh, scripture.
And which one are we on now?
Uh,
What you reading now? Is what I'm asking.
Well, I'm not reading now.
So here's my point. My point is the presence of the Spirit of God determines what we're supposed to do as long as our idea is connected to righteousness. And the Father...
We are connected to that righteousness
through the empowerment of the Spirit. And when that empowerment comes on, He gives us the ability to obey Him.
Right.
Without that ability to obey Him, we're going to walk out that store with that money. That's what we're trying to say. In our own humanness, you are right. We will walk out of that store and justify it. But when we come back and walk out with Christ, Jesus, the person that made a mistake could get fired. Jesus is never going to walk out that store with that money. Jesus would never do it.
I tell you, this Jesus here, I know they killed Jesus, and he rose from the dead,
and he's sitting at the right hand side of the Father. And those of us who live with Him rising from that dead.
Well, that's the power we're talking about. I'm gonna be honest. God told me to be honest. I'm gonna be honest with you. If they gave me extra money, if God gonna punish me for it, then so be it.
You're being honest. You're being honest, but you're wrong. Regardless of whether you're being honest or not, you're wrong.
Okay, Mark. Okay, well, Pastor, have you did anything wrong before, Pastor?
The issue is not whether we did anything wrong. We all will admit that we've done wrong. That's not the issue, but we have to call wrong wrong and right right. That's what God wants us to do. But listen to this. Here's the golden rule. It's the most simplicity of it all. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Those are not our words. Those are the words of Jesus. That's the way we are to live. If you would want somebody to return your money, then you ought to return the other person's money.
I don't want them to return my money. I don't want them because I feel if I made a mistake like that, God made a way for that person.
Mark, we're going to end that. On that, because it sounds like we're dealing with hindsight damage.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere you've been wounded, and we hope you get better.
We do it like his honesty in the fact that he shares that's what, but we don't want him to, as Yuri mentioned, to skew, to mix the honesty with what's wrong.
Right.
And so, and we're not trying, Mark, we really love you, so we're not trying to bash you on any level. But that's the reason we have this show. We have this show because the mindsets that's out there, even from those of us who go into church sometime, will justify what we want to see, right?
Right,
yes.
And let me say, Mark is in a very dangerous position because the number one mark of a Christian is that he agrees with what God says. When he knows this is what God says,
that's true.
He agrees with it. It doesn't have anything to do with whether I can live up to it right away, but it just means that I say, hey, that what God said is true, even if I'm wrong, and that's the catalyst for God changing me.
That's right.
Because that's called conviction.
Yeah. And if you trust God, you don't have to manufacture a blessing.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't have to manufacture a blessing. God, you can do the right thing because you know God is going to take care of you.
Yeah.
He mentioned a water bill. I remember once I had this gigantic water bill and the Lord told me to go down there and make sure they were charging me the right thing. They gave me a wrong figure and I wanted to say, "Well, Lord, that's less than what they're saying I owe. Let's just leave it alone." And he said, "No, I got to show you that you don't need to manufacture anything.
Right.
You go and tell them to do an honest investigation and watch me take care of it."
And I think we often use phrases that, out of religiosity, we use phrases that we don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
When he says, "Leave it in the hand of God,"
yeah.
that means obey God and leave the results to God.
Yeah. Right. That's what, yeah.
I can't do anything. I can't manufacture the results or control the results. I mean, I might go into the fiery furnace and I might die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But isn't that the only trusting God is the only way you really can have integrity?
Right.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Trusting Him because once you stop doing that, then you get into your humanness.
Right.
and you start trying to make things happen, you know.
Exactly right.
And we all know that have tried that. You just stack stuff on top of stuff.
Yes.
And it don't get any better.
You know, while Mark was talking, I can actually tell you, my wife and I were on vacation, and we were eating at this restaurant, and at the end of it, we paid the bill. And the lady came back and actually gave me more money. And I could use that extra cash to drive back to Houston. And I actually told her, excuse me, ma'am, you gave me a little bit too much money. That lady looked at me and said, thank you so much for being honest. Not that I was a preacher. She didn't know I was a church member. But just the very fact that I gave her back the money gave credibility to who I am, even for a visitor. It would amaze her that I actually gave the money back. Now, we could have used that little extra money for some gas to give back. And in my own humanness, first of all, boy, that is all right. That is a blessing. But again, it's not mine. I need to give it back because I want to give honor and glory unto God.
Let's speak to us as a culture of people.
Yeah.
Whether they know I'm a Christian or not.
Right.
They're going to know that I'm black when I walk in, because that's my skin color.
Right.
And if I'm talking about advancing the cause of our people, then integrity is just as good there as it is with a believer.
Right.
When I walk in, I recognize I'm black, and I recognize I must uplift African-American culture with my righteousness.
Right, right.
Because if I'm an example of righteousness, then that's a reflection on our people as well.
Right.
That's a reflection on the young boys I'm trying to get to do better, because I'm a man that's going to do right.
Right.
So while it is a Christian concept, all of our people need to recognize the role of righteousness and integrity and not walk out of stores with other folks' stuff, but we know that.
Yeah. Mm.
Because it makes us better as a people.
Right.
And when the word goes out, African-American folk are changing a whole lot of stuff. Not drinking, under trees, and all this negative stuff that's coming out. It'll come out because we are better people.
Right.
At the core of our heart. That's why we're calling it core values. Because these values will spread into all the other values that you have.
Right.
And make those values better.
Right.
And once those values become a behavior, then whatever I'm influencing has credibility.
Mm.
And the Bible says,
go ahead.
A good name is better than riches.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple. So you're gonna give up your name for a couple of pennies to walk out the door. They'll be gone in a moment.
Oh, man, I know somebody in the Bible did that, didn't they? Did something similar to that.
You know, a lot of our, as Will was talking about our culture, a lot of times, our demonstrations and our protests loses its credibility because we don't practice integrity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, breaking in things and running out with stuff.
Right.
You know, integrity would say we need to protest, you know, like kind of like in the 60s, they protested, but their integrity was sound.
Yes.
That's what made them victorious.
Right. Right.
And when you march with no credibility, I know some of our preacher friends work to get some of these guys off that done wrong.
Yes.
And they go down and they go to bat for them and all of that. And then that same guy go back out and kill somebody.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know, while the effort was good, but if you don't install integrity in that boy.
Yes.
Then the effort was not worth it, because the effort is only as good as the finished product matches the effort.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And so we don't have anything to put the boy in that's going to put core values in him. So when he goes out, he's a better participant in society. It will be an automatic reflection that he's black, because you're not going to miss that.
Right. Right. And another thing I'm thinking that, you know, one thing about with when you have empowerment, the Holy Spirit will come along, and he's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And you've got to fight that.
Yeah.
If you really empower the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and affirm
right.
what's right.
Right.
And so you got to go against that. You got to really go against that in order to continue to do wrong, because he's going to confirm. He's going to affirm with you.
And I think that's what Yuri was talking about when he said he was in a dangerous position.
Yeah.
because he may be listening to
the wrong voice.
Messages that's got him thinking it's God, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And those messages will cause you to make some bad mistakes. Yeah. You think about the people who kill their kids because they heard voices, and they thinking it's God. You gotta, this voice thing is pretty serious.
Yeah.
If you don't know your Bible, if you're not in that Bible where that Bible is giving you biblical reason, then you can be listening to anything. And then when you come out of it, you're going to justify it because you can attach God like you want. Mm. It doesn't mean God is there.
So just having a Bible just not going to do you any good.
All right. You're listening to Chat with Pac, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. We'll be back right after this.
Your kind of talk. 1520 KYND.
Did you know over 50% of the working population are employed in small business, and that 65% of all new jobs since 1995 were created through the innovation of small business? Being an entrepreneur isn't easy. I know this challenge firsthand. Hi, I'm Stephanie, founder and CEO of Trey Magazine. This holiday season, I ask you to join me as we start a new tradition, one that strengthens our local economy, expands employment, and nurtures our community. Discover the difference you can make when you shop locally. Go to TreyGreenBook.com today.
Get connected. Spend smart. Shop local. Find your tribe at TreyGreenBook.com. That's TreyGreenBook.com. Empowering our communities for a stronger tomorrow. Know a small business you want to support? List it for free now at TreyGreenBook.com.
Do you know what time it is? It's Gulfgate time. What you've been waiting for is finally here. Time for you to clean up with tremendous savings on all 2015s. Want a new Dodge? It's Gulfgate time. Chrysler? It's Gulfgate time. Jeep? It's Gulfgate time. Ram? It's always Gulfgate time.
Not only during end of the model year closeout, but it's Gulfgate time when you want the best deal on any automobile, on any of our 2016 and 17 lineup, to include the all-new Chrysler Pacifica with low to no interest rates available along with other bonus incentives. Don't wait. Come see me, Guinevere Cloud, because it's Gulfgate time at 7250 Gulf Freeway. Call 281-477-6767 or online at GulfgateDCJ.com.
No matter what time it is, it's Gulfgate time.
Attention churches and nonprofit organizations. Dawson Chemical and Janitorial Supply Company has all the chemicals and janitorial supplies you need. Toilet tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, styrofoam cups, plates, and more. They also offer churches and nonprofit organizations 10% discounts and free same-day delivery. So give us a call today at 713-697-7137. Mr. Dawson has been supplying Houston area large and small congregations for over 36 years and has three area locations to serve all of your paper, chemical, and janitorial supply needs. Dawson Chemical also sells commercial janitorial equipment, buffers, vacuum cleaners, steam cleaners, wet and dry vacs, and more. We also repair all types of janitorial equipment and provide a full line of pest control for your do-it-yourself convenience. So give us a call today at 713-697-7137 and let Dawson Chemical meet all of your paper and chemical supply needs. Again, call us at 713-697-7137. We look forward to your call. Any church that spends $100 will get a $25 gift certificate that can be used with your current purchase.
From Cypress to Crosby, on the air everywhere. Everywhere. The powerful 1520.
All right, you're listening to Chat with Pac, where we are changing the inner city one family at a time. Amen. We're headed toward, this is our last segment, and we want to remind you, you can call in and take part in this conversation, this dialogue, 832-230-5592. Want to remind you, if you want to know more about our ministry and what we do, at PAC, Pastors Advancing the Kingdom, then go to our website.
That's going to be chatwithpac.org. Chatwithpac.org.
We're having a senior moment. That's why we're laughing.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's good.
On our website, you can download materials as well as get information concerning us. We want to remind you we have classes that are going to start on January the 9th. If you're interested in those classes are absolutely free. Only thing we have is some material, at least a book that you would need to purchase. And that book has been very helpful to the students. Matter of fact, it's written in such a way that it's not just reading, but it's a reference.
Right.
It's a reference book that you can go back and easily review the things that, you are taught in the class. And so we want to encourage you to call our offices at 713-784-6055 if you want to inquire about our classes or if you want to become involved. Pastors advancing the kingdom, obviously, that has to do with pastors. If you're out there, you're a pastor, and you want to become a part of what we do, you want to get, you want to even get, have classes to be held on your campus. And we have campuses now all over Houston, just about.
go ahead.
Where are they at?
On the north side, we're on the southeast side, and southwest side. So,
and Central Campus is in Fifth Ward.
Right.
Right. And so we have campuses everywhere, so it's convenient for your attendance, and you will be blessed. Your life will be changed. Let's jump back in here to talking about integrity. Now let's move forward to truthfulness. I don't know whether we're going to get to our subject matter where we have to today. We'll get to it next week. But let's give the balance of our time to truthfulness.
Well, we said truthfulness is saying what you mean and meaning what you say. And it's the highest standard that's set by God that's good for anything, anywhere, and anyone, and it doesn't change. We took a look at how truthfulness operates by understanding that all truth or lies develop a reason.
All right.
And you usually say this is the reason why I'm doing something. And that reason has to flow through a justification. It has to justify itself or give you the ability to say it was right enough to do it. And out of that reasoning, you're going to get a reality or a worldview out of it. Now, truthfulness is in opposition to deception.
Yeah.
And deception gives us a skin of the truth, but on the inside it's filled with lies.
Right.
And so as long as we are outwardly discussing an issue and understanding what the issue does, we can look like we're telling the truth. But if we're doing something totally different from that, we are deceiving people. Because we're not actually what we say is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so that reality becomes a part of religiosity if there is no empowerment from Christ. It becomes a part of secular humanism if it's not empowered in Christ, because only Jesus will convict us with his righteousness, bringing us into a kingdom reality where we don't change anymore. And that's the idea. Let me just mention, Mark called back and said he was kind of throwing it out there. So because there are many who hold his view.
Right.
And he wanted us to get off into the subject matter so we could discuss it so that those who would hold that view would understand our view.
Right.
And I told him I would mention it. And I appreciate, Mark, we appreciate you calling us back to let us know.
Yeah.
That's what's going on, because now you can... You're another member of the show. Get you some ear, get you some of these ear things, man. So you can, but use the phone, Mark. That's going to be your comment line over there. Right?
Let me do this since we brought Mark back up and you just talked about deception and to deceive other people is one thing, but to be self-deceived is another.
That's exactly right.
And you talk about, you use the phrase when we're talking to Mark, deceptive rationale.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about deceptive rationale.
So as you mentioned earlier, deception always deceives even the deceiver. Satan is deceived because he thinks he's going to win. And he uses deception from that perspective because it is a part of his rationale. Rationale is how you process your truth into a conversation. Rationale is how you pull down reasoning and put it into your justification so you think you have a right to say it. Rationale is what gives you the confidence to say whatever you think is right until you find out it's wrong. I never forget, I was having this conversation and my dad had said something to me about an issue that was pertaining to work, and I said, my dad said, this is always that, and the guy who knew better said, yo, dad wasn't right. Now, until I heard that, I was throwing my dad's name out there real heavy. But after I heard that, that truth made me address the rationale that my dad had so that I could take a look at whether I really wanted to say that or not. Because if it wasn't truthful, I was always going to get those types of comments.
So, no, I'm thinking that this based on what you just said, so it doesn't matter whether I think a certain way. It doesn't change what truth is.
It doesn't.
I can be deceived in my thinking and believing I got the right way or I'm doing the right thing, but that truth does not change. It remains the same.
And so, one of the things we have to do is accept truth no matter where it comes from. You know, sometimes the source of truth is not a pleasant thing. But it, you have to get where you're valuable and where God wants you. You have to learn to accept truth no matter from where it comes from. And once you learn how to do that, then it's hard for deception to come. Because you're a seeker of truth.
When we say all truth is God's truth. But then under truth, we have objective truth and subjective truth. Objective truth is truth in place that's in place when you find it because it doesn't change. So we took a look at that. We said that 1 + 1 = 2 It's an objective truth because when you get here, it's there. It's not going to matter. I mean, it's in place until you get to school to discover it. Because it's already working. Your engineers work off of that truth to put buildings together. So 1 + 1 has credibility because we're still building on top of that truth. That truth is good for everyone, anywhere, at any time. It's not going to change. Subjective truth is a little different. Subjective truth is truth that I discover along my way to objective truth. And it may change. Because I'm subject to what it taught me when I discovered it.
I like to call that facts.
The facts of the matter, And because truth is going to deliver the facts. When I discover the facts, then I should change to what the facts are presenting unless subjectivism has changed the facts. Because people who want to do something and who don't recognize how facts work, then they're going in and adjust the facts to make their statement or their claims. That's where we are in our deceptive rational reasoning today, because those who are in higher academic circles now are already kind of checking out how people don't understand how to listen. And so people have selected sides that they want to be on to hear from. So they're no longer listening to facts. They're listening to the buzzwords or the talking points from their side or from the view they already hold. They're not looking into both views to see how those views operate to determine if it's a view they want to hold or not. If five of my people hold this view, it must be true. So therefore, I'm going to hold a view just to stay with the group that I have. That can go for politics. It can go into religion. It can go into the scholastic. It can go into any arena. So what you basically be, you are subject now to that what you're going to call true, even though it would be deceptive rational reasoning. But until you discover the facts of the matter, it's going to lead you into your own truth. Romans 14 and 15 deals with that as it relates to us. Because Romans 14 and 15 gives us areas that we must agree on, essential doctrines. Then we have gray areas where we can disagree. Right? We have to agree on the doctrine, Trinity, Jesus is both God and man, salvation by grace through faith, the resurrection, those eight essentials we must all agree on. But whether tongues are for day or gone.
Yeah.
Those are, we can argue till the cows come home. Because those are two views that's in the Christian faith, that's in the kingdom,
yeah,
that you can hold it if you want to.
Right.
Romans 14 and 15 ask the question, you not their Lord. I'm their Lord. And whatever is not of sin, whatever is not of
faith,
is sinful.
Yeah.
So if I put faith in that and God is executing stuff, that faith element, as long as it aligns with biblical reasoning, is truth enough for me to operate on.
Yeah.
Then we also get the piece where the whole issue of eating meat that was given to idols. Mm-hmm. The Jews couldn't eat the meat.
Right.
But the Gentiles could. Mm-hmm. So the Jews, that's subjective truth. Mm-hmm. Because the Gentile truthfully can eat it. Not offensive to God. Remember what Peter did in Acts 10?
Right.
When God brought the sheep down, Peter said, I'm not going to eat that.
Yeah.
I don't eat it. And the Lord told him, whatever boy I call clean, don't change it. So subjective truth bumped into objective truth. And when it made that adjustment so that Peter could not go hang out with his partners until Paul shows up.
All right. All right. Let's kind of wrap it up here in that when we're talking about these core values, the three that we talked about, faithfulness, integrity, and truthfulness, those things have to fit into what we call a kingdom concept. In other words,
yes,
you have areas of your life. You have your world. How do you call it? Your world. And your world are your personal, family, community, church, and career.
Yeah.
That's your world. And so you have to put these values into your world, your everyday living. They are your character. They are who you are.
Right.
And you'll watch them produce results.
Those five areas are your kingdom boundaries. Because when you put order, God, Jesus, man, woman, child, these standards, which are godly standards, into those five areas, it brings the kingdom into your heart. Mm-hmm. So now Jesus is the king. He can hook to those views that's in your heart, and he can empower you to walk around and establish his world into those five areas. And when you stand before God, this world is going to have to be handed back over to him, because he called you to those views for his cause. That's the kingdom.
All right. Now, amen. We want to remind you that you can call our office 713-784-6055. If you're interested in our classes, go to our website. There are materials that you can download. If you're interested in any of our materials, you can go do that. Our website is
chatwithpack.org. Chatwithpack.org.
Now, we want to say this, that all the stuff that we're talking about can only benefit you eternally if you are saved.
Yes.
And so we close with our two-minute drill. If you only had 2 minutes to live, what would you do? First thing you need to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins. Second thing you need to do is believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ on the cross for your sins. Amen. The third thing you need to do once you say that is ask God to seal you, come into your heart and seal you. You're going to get a change of desires. You're not going to want to sin anymore. And that change of desires is going to cause you to be aware that the Spirit of God is in you. And we're trying to get you to listen to that for empowerment. The text is Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. You go there, you're going to see our points.
All right, all right. Want to remind you that every Saturday at 4 p.m., tune in to 1520 KYND. And if you're in California, that's Central Standard Time. If you're on the East Coast, that's Central Standard Time.
Yeah.
And so we know there are people that are listening around the country, and we thank you for your support. Thank you for your support. Now, until next time, we want you to remember that we are packed, pastors advancing the kingdom, and we are
changing the inner city one family at a time.